Well, now it's time to welcome back Carl Merry with yet another Essex Tale. Hi, Carl, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Excellent.
Good stuff. And what have you got for us this week?
Sorry.
It's all right. I just seem to recall it was something to do with a mountain.
This is the story of the last mountain in Essex. It's a story that was told by my great friend and great storyteller, the late Peter Maskins from Hornchurch. I think it's one he constructed from various bits and pieces.
Yes.
But it is an Essex story. It was constructed in Essex. It's set in Essex, and it's by an Essex man.
Right. Is it true?
All the stories I tell are true while I'm telling them.
So no, while you're telling them. Right, go on then.
Sir Gwilym the Donker was a Flemish knight, and he had a great deal of land in Essex. He took as much as he could from the people. He took their money, their animals, their crops. And if anyone complained, they were thrown into the dungeons. But as he grew older, he began to fear he would not get into heaven. So he asked his wife, "Promise me you'll build me a monastery and fill it with monks that'll pray for my soul, for I've been a wicked man, starving the people." And after Sir Gwilym died, she kept her promise and she built that monastery. And it was soon filled with monks who took turns to pray for him 24 hours a day. And this monastery was built at Peldon, right by the last mountain in Essex. A large town grew up beside the monastery, and that town is now known as Abberton. Now, in the monastery, there was one small monk called Thomas, who nobody thought much of. He was a bit shy, and he didn't mix very well with the other monks. And so the abbot put Thomas in charge of their small flock of goats. And he was dressed in the roughest clothing. Because the abbot said, "That'll do for you, Thomas. You're not very bright, and, well, you can talk to the goats as you won't talk to us." And so every day, Thomas took the goats up on the mountain to feed. The other monks laughed at him, thought it was a joke. "Look at him. When he walks up the mountain, no one can tell which is Thomas and which is the goat," they'd say. But Thomas didn't mind, for he felt he was being useful. And all day long he'd sit with the goats until it was time to return to the monastery for prayer. Well, the years passed, and gradually and eventually Lady de Donker died. And her relatives came, and, well, they did not want the monastery. They sold the land, the houses, the animals, and moved away. And the abbot and the monks had no money, and no one was willing to take on a large monastery. So the abbot called a meeting and asked all the monks how they might raise money. All the goats had been sold. But Thomas, he still climbed the mountain each day, even in midwinter. And he would sit and think how he could help the monastery. Then one day, he decided to look beneath the rocks, for there seemed to be warmth coming from the rocks, even in the deepest of midwinter. And he levered some rocks away and found there was a hole and a draught of warm air. He rolled more rocks away and could see a deeper hole, like a chimney going down into the mountain. Now, as he thought the hole would not go very far, he climbed in and clambered down. But it was deeper than he thought, and he began to get a bit afraid, but he said a prayer and carried on. After a while, he stopped and looked up, and all he could see was a little round blue patch of sky. And he looked down, and in the distance could see a slight red glow, and he worried there might be a dragon, for we all know there are dragons in Essex. But he said more prayers and carried on. Down and down he went. The air got warmer, the glow got brighter. He shouted a few times, but the only answer was the echo of his own voice. At last he came to the bottom of the tunnel. He expected it to be a cavern, but it only opened up into a small chamber, not very much bigger than a cupboard. And on the floor was a large, glowing, ruby-red jewel. Thomas reached out and felt the warmth radiating from the jewel. He was frightened and touched it with his fingers. But it was hot, but it did not burn. Then a rumble in his stomach reminded him that he'd not eaten since breakfast, and that decided him. He picked up the jewel, put it in a fold of his habit, tightened his rope belt over it, and climbed back up, which took much longer than it took to go down, and he had to rest several times on the way up. And when he finally got out, it was dark. The gatekeeper at the monastery told Thomas he was in serious trouble for being so late, and there was no supper left. But Thomas smiled and demanded to see the abbot. "That will just get you into more trouble," said the gatekeeper. But Thomas insisted. Finally, he was shown into the abbot's room. There was a nice fire burning in the hearth, and the abbot had roast chicken and rich wine upon his table. Now the abbot could not remember a time when a lowly monk had spoken to him. And Thomas said nothing immediately, but slowly pulled the glowing jewel out of his habit and placed it on the table. Not a word was said, but Thomas's stomach rumbled loudly. The abbot tried to speak, but all he could manage was, Thomas, would you like to sit down and have something to eat? Well, Thomas did like something to eat, and very much, and he tucked into the abbot's supper as fast as he could, and soon there was none left, neither chicken nor wine. Hours later, after Thomas had answered all the questions, he was helped to bed, and in the morning a messenger was sent to the king, who happened to be hunting not very far away in Havering at a Bower. Well, the king came as fast as he could, and with surprise and delight claimed the jewel as his own, but offered to support the monastery for the rest of his life, which indeed he did. And Thomas was the hero. The smallest and least clever monk had saved them all. He was given a new room with a fire in winter, and he lived to a ripe old age. But you know, the mountain was never the same, for its heart had been taken out, and it died. It shrank smaller and smaller until there was nothing left of it, and it carried on shrinking down into its roots. As it did, the hole filled with water. To this day it's still shrinking and filling with water. We now use it for our drinking water, and we call it Abberton Reservoir. But this is the true story of the last mountain in Essex, and we hope now that it'll save us all from drought.
Fascinating, but where's Abberton? I don't know.
Abberton is up near Colchester.
Is it really?
Yes, there's a reservoir there, yes.
The only reservoir I know, I have to say, is Haddingfield.
No, there's a big reservoir at Abberton.
Right. I didn't know that, so I've learnt something else today. Thank you very much indeed for that, Cole. What have you got lined up for us again next week?
Well, I'm going to go back to one of the Essex dragon stories.
Another one?
There are, interestingly enough, not so long ago, I was with a number of other storytellers, and I heard a dragon story from Berkshire, a dragon story from South Yorkshire, and a dragon story from Suffolk. And I countered with one from Essex.
Right. And that's the one you're going to be telling us?
No, I've already told.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm going to tell the Crocodilly.
The Crocodilly. Right. Which part of Essex is this based in?
This is from Wormingford.
I don't know where that is either.
I'm not sure myself, but I think it's North Essex.
All right. Well,
I'm sure somebody can correct me.
That seems reasonable enough to me. Okay, we look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed, Carl.